time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter. This week, your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is joined by teacher Lori Fisher and technical editor, Kira Pace. Here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely weekend. I like this kind of weather. Maybe you don't, but I do. And therefore, we hope you can settle back and give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are desperately in need of your participation. We're pandering to you, basically. And please give us a call at area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free 866-798-8255. And it's 866-798-8255. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. Also, I want to say thank you for all the people that called and pledged last week. That was very helpful.
Did we sell the $300 worth? Remember, we were auctioning off letters?
Yeah, we went over that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, God, way over.
I don't know if we sold every letter.
All right. But many of them.
We sold the important ones, the capital ones.
The good ones, the capitals, yeah. The vowels.
The vowels. And anyway, thank you for those who called and pledged. I appreciate it a lot. And it's good to know that there's many supporters of the show out there. But keep it up, you know, and keep it up for the station's sake, for our sake. But thanks. Anyway, just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MindsOverMatter, one. That's the numeral
the
one.
Numeral,
I was waiting for Kira to say
it's the
numeral. The numeral one. So that's mindsovermatter.
I think you have it at this point.
You never know.
Well, mindsovermatter1. You know, yeah. New listeners aren't getting this, so it's important.
At gmail.com. Okay, mindsovermatter1 at gmail.com. If you would like to hear the show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the world. So by going to kalw.org, that is kalw.org. And if you'd like to listen to the podcast of the show afterwards, if you didn't hear enough of our wonderful voices, you can certainly do that also at kalw.org and iTunes later on. And we have a lot of old shows. It makes for great listening. A lot of old shows at kalw.org.
They get better with age. The answers change a little bit. It's good.
And you go back far enough, you'll start hearing some of the same questions.
Well, it's sort of like playing old Trivial Pursuit, where you have to put yourself in the mindset of 1999.
Things that happened before some of us were
1993.
Yeah.
And anyway, so we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. I have to read this chicken scratch that Kira gave me.
My writing is gorgeous.
Some says who. Just like last year, Kira Pace slept through Beta Breakers brunch and therefore missed seeing that team of Steve Zissou's. She's not sure what exactly this foretells. Probably that there will be one more year of the Mueller investigation.
Yeah.
Was that a good reading of the intro?
What? No, that was powerful. Really?
Thank you.
Yeah. So juggling enticing invitations from the royal wedding, the Warriors game, and the Billboard Music Awards is no easy task. Lori Fisher is happy he made the wisest possible decision, avoiding them all to be on Minds Over Matter. To all those who made the same choice, thank you.
Yeah, it's kind of a pop culture trifecta, the wedding, sports, and music. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, learned that the FBI planted a spy on the Minds Over Matter program. They left after 5 minutes.
Yeah, I guess they were just bored.
Anyway,
did you watch the wedding?
I did not.
Oh.
I did.
Yeah, I saw
did
none of it.
Only by accident. I happened to be still awake. So, and then it was streaming on Facebook.
That's accident. Aren't you always awake?
But I happened to see that it was streaming on Facebook. So I'm like, okay, I'll watch.
You watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
you give it a rating?
Greg woke me up.
Yeah.
Every hour. Is the wedding on? Yeah, it's... Yeah. Wake up. The wedding's on. Yes. I enjoyed watching the English people roll their eyes at that guy making this, doing the sermon.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. It went on about 5 minutes too long for them, I think.
I saw the choir singing to the Westminster Abbey, and it was such a culture clash. The Stand By Me.
St. George's Chapel.
Yeah. Oh, St. George's, sorry. Yeah.
Don't get that wrong.
Yeah. Anyway. It was sweet. It was a sweet wedding.
She's very telegenic.
Completely.
Yeah.
Charming. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. I know you wanted to hear that. But let's start with Kira Pace.
All right. Let's start with these questions right here. Leading question followed by a list. So Waltz in A, played at the end of every SNL episode, was written by what three-time Academy Award winner, who was also the musical director of SNL from 1975 to 1980?
So it's the first one.
He was the first musical director. He wrote the song that they play at the end of every episode.
It's not Paul Schaefer, but
no.
It's a guy with a guitarist with a ponytail, right? Is it that guy?
No, you're thinking of
G.E. Smith. And he was.
Oh, it's before him.
It's before him. I think he was 80. He was early 80s.
The name I remember from early days is Howard Shore.
And that is the correct answer.
Very good. Okay. Oh,
yes.
Great.
Howard Shore wrote that piece
name.
Of music.
Oops.
Waltz in A. Yeah.
Waltz in A. That's what it's called.
All right.
Dave Brubeck has a song by the same title, I believe.
Yep. So does Chopin, I think.
I think so.
So there are... You know this SNL, Saturday Night Live, Five-Timers Club, right?
We just had a perfect idea of our cultural references here. Saturday Night Live, Dave Brubeck, Chopin. That's all right.
Archimedes.
We cover the waterfront here. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Karen.
All right. The Five-Timers Club. So there are three members of the Saturday Night Live Five-Timers Club who are former cast members. Who are they? And then a follow-up question, sort of. Who are the three musicians who have appeared as musical guests most often? So I want the three members, three former cast members who are also part of the SNL Five-Timers Club.
Which means, for people who don't know, that they hosted five times.
They've hosted five, in addition to being cast members.
Yes. So Will Ferrell's one of them.
No.
Oh.
No.
Then Bill Murray.
Bill Murray is one of them, yes. He has hosted five times.
Is Chris Rock one?
No.
I
can only think of two that he hosted, actually.
Really? Okay.
I think.
All right. Read the question once more, if you would.
Sure. Three members of the Saturday Night Live Five-Timers Club are former cast members. Who are they? And also, who are the three musicians who have appeared as musical guests the most?
And how many times have they appeared as guests?
I forgot to write that down. One of them has been a musical guest in some form or another, I think 12 times.
Wow.
One of them has been a host once or twice. And then a musical guest, I want to say, let's say six times.
So is Paul Simon one?
He's the one who has been both a host and then he is the second.
Is he a five-timer?
He gets counted as a five-timer and he was in the first five-timer sketch. But at that point, he had hosted four times, but then he had been a musical guest once.
Did Tina Fey do five times?
Yeah. She did. She is one of the former cast members who was Five-Timer Club.
As of last night.
No, last night was six.
Oh, okay. So we're missing one five-timer.
Missing one five-timer, former castmate. And then we're missing the first and third most, or the people who have appeared first and third most in
musical. And are they individuals or are they groups?
They are both individuals who played with groups.
Ooh. Fancy.
One of them has played with a few different groups who've been on Saturday Night Live. One of them played pretty much with his own group.
McCartney?
Nope.
Okay.
That's a good guess.
Yeah. And if you'd like to join us, the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134 with a question or answer. Or we have a toll-free number. Yes, we have a toll-free number. 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. Laurie, why don't you go ahead?
All right. Like both of you and all of our listeners, I'm interested in trends in punctuation, believe it or not.
This seems fair.
Do we ever say that?
Always.
All right.
It's an assumption.
I know Kira is.
And, yeah. Well, here's one interesting thing.
And
I was looking at books that have won the Pulitzer Prize in either history or general nonfiction. Right. And for the first 25 years, only two books had colons in the title. And in the last 38, all but two did. So this colon thing has taken over. And
yeah.
I've noticed it, and you see it in lots of nonfiction books.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you half of a title. You tell me what the book was about. These are books that won the Pulitzer Prize for history or nonfiction. I'm going to give you the sexy part,
mm-hmm.
and then you're going to guess what the topic was. Well, you're going to try to come up with those answers. That make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, how far back are we going?
Probably 1980 is the oldest one. They're all quite well-known books, because this is the trend in the last 30 years, is that they have the colon. So, and I picked ones that would prompt you, even if you didn't know the book, I think. Number one is Summer for the Gods. So I want to know what that – you don't have to get the exact title. I want to know what that book is about. Won the Pulitzer for history or general nonfiction. Number two is The Words That Remade America. Number three is An Eternal Golden Braid. Number four, which has two colons in it, No Ordinary Time. Number five is A Life of Reinvention. And the last one is Blood in the Water. So once again, I'm looking for the topics of these books. They have a colon in it, Summer for the Gods, The Words That Remade America, An Eternal Golden Braid, No Ordinary Time, which has two of them, two colons, A Life of Reinvention, and Blood in the Water. I'll give you, like, each one and a half.
I assure you I don't need that many.
Summer for the Gods, that's the one that sounds the most familiar to me. That's history, right?
They're all history, and even the general nonfiction ones are kind of history, but that one is history.
All right, I have to think about it.
Okay.
All right.
We'll leave it there. So, and so I picked ones that I thought people would either know right away or could figure it out, like The Words That Remade America, for instance. That's the one I thought would be.
What about, was that maybe about Martin Luther King Jr.?
It's a really good guess, but not.
All right.
Okay. So that's my colon question for tonight.
All right. Well, let me get to my prostate questions.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? Anybody there? Colon question in drone.
Yeah, really. Everyone just shut off their
all right.
internets.
Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Oh, it's going to be a quiet. Oh, there we go.
Hello.
Hello, you're on.
Hi, it's Ed from Massachusetts.
Hi, Ed.
Yeah.
Let me guess one of the five timers. Billy Crystal.
No, not Billy Crystal.
Chevy Chase.
There you go.
Oh,
that is the third. So oh,
very good.
Good job.
Two originals,
okay.
Or semi-originals.
On the nonfiction books, Eternal Golden Braid, one of my favorites, is Gödel, Escher, Bach.
It is. Gödel, Escher, and Bach. Very good.
About mathematics, art, and music combining for, you know, his theory of perfection, and it's a great book. It's hard to get through.
It is a great book.
The Summer of the Gods, is that like 1941 David Halberstam or something like that?
It's not... It's not 1941, and it's not David Halberstam.
42, the Great Summer, baseball, no, nothing like that? Okay.
I wish, but no. Yeah.
I should have quit with Gödel, Escher,
yeah.
Bach.
It's a summer before the 40s. The summer it talks about is before the 1940s.
All right. Well, I'll quit my bell on Gödel, Escher, Bach.
Okay.
And I've got a question for you.
All right.
I was doing this. I was just looking over the list of best pictures, and I happen to notice in all the years of Academy Award best pictures, only four have titles that are complete sentences. What are they?
You said, I'm sorry, best picture winners?
Best picture winners, Academy Award best picture winners, only four have titles that are complete sentences.
That's a good question.
You can't take it with you.
Yeah.
There's one.
Would Crash, could that?
No.
That should.
It should, really.
Only if you're telling somebody to crash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It is.
As a directive, so infinitive sentence.
Are any of them one word, like Crash?
No.
Okay.
It happened one night.
It happened one night. There's two.
Both Capra.
Silence of the Lambs?
No.
No, that's not a sentence.
That's a noun phrase.
All right. Well,
Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind?
That's also...
That's not a sentence.
No subject.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's implied.
let's see. I'm sorry. How many were there?
Four. So you're halfway.
Are any of them in the past 30 years?
Yes.
Okay.
The English Patient.
Nope. That's again, just a noun.
It could
just
be.
Just a noun phrase.
No, it couldn't be. Right. It couldn't be a sentence. The English are patient.
Sure.
Three of them are from that early time period of the 30s and 40s.
Well, we have two of those, right?
Right. So there's one more from that time period.
The Life of Emile Zola?
No.
Not a sentence.
No.
That could be a sentence.
When's the fourth one from? When's the one that I can get from?
It's just a title. It doesn't have a verb. We need a verb in there.
The fourth one, is it in the past? Or you said it's in the past like 30 or 40 years?
It's in the 70s.
70s, huh?
Not The Godfather Part 2. That's
no.
Not a
no.
No. Mm. Oh, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
There we go.
There you go.
That's
Ooh.
Nice.
That's good.
So we need a one from the 30s, another Capra-esque kind of thing.
Or 40s.
Or 40s.
Where they cross the line.
That's a good question.
That's a good question.
Black and white film?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it the 30s or the 40s?
Dang on, I've got to check my list. I think this one was in the 40s. They were all within just a couple of years of each other.
Right.
Yeah, this last one is in the 40s.
How Green Was My Valley?
There you go.
That's it.
All right.
That's good.
That's it. You got them.
Thanks, Ed.
And it doesn't
Thanks
even have a,
lot,
a question mark.
Right. Yeah. How Green Was My Valley? Okay.
Good.
Let me give you...
Maybe it was a colon. How green was, colon, item one,
yes.
My valley.
Could be. All right, I'll give you a couple of questions. What are the two most common high school mascot names in the U.S. that are not animals?
Spartans.
No.
Trojans.
No.
Okay.
What are those, your high school?
Braves.
No.
Giants.
No.
Are they people, like Spartans and warriors?
They're not animals.
I know, but they could be trees and plants.
They could be.
Yeah.
Technically, people are animals, so it is unclear.
Stop.
But anyway, are they more likely to be like soldiers kind of thing, or more like plant life?
Oh, yeah, soldiers. Let's see, cavaliers.
Not plant life.
There's not a lot of high school cavaliers.
No.
What?
No. So what is the...
My
what
brother
are the...
was a grenadier, so I don't even want to hear
there you
it.
Go. What are the two most common high school mascot names in the U.S. that are not animals?
That's a good question. Okay. And is it fair to think of them as warrior fighter types, like pirates?
Pirates is good.
Yeah, there's a lot of pirates.
Yeah, but that's sort not. Of, kind of.
Okay. Quakers, probably not.
All right, second question. What is the only poem used as an episode title on Taxi, Twilight Zone, and Battlestar Galactica, and MacGyver?
The same
poem. What is the only poem used as an episode title on Taxi, Twilight Zone, Battlestar Galactica, and MacGyver?
Ozymandias.
No.
Is it famous like that? Kind of classic 19th century...
It's not Casey at the Bat.
No, but is it from that era? You know, like...
Oh,
no,
it's a well-known poem.
What about The Charge of the Light Brigade?
No.
Okay.
That's
mm-hmm.
not bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, once more, what is the only poem used as an episode title on Taxi? These are TV shows. Taxi, The Twilight Zone, Battlestar Galactica. I think it's the old Battlestar Galactica. And MacGyver.
Is there irony or humor attached to this, or is it more straightforward like Ozymandias?
I can't say for sure.
Oh, what?
But Taxi, I mean, that's probably, there's a slight irony to it.
What about Auld Lang Syne?
No.
Okay.
That's an interesting one, yeah. More of a song than a poem, but it could be both.
Well, it's by the poet Rabbi Burns.
Yeah.
So.
And the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. We're toll-free, 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi, this is Jay in Alameda.
Hey, Jay. That's my town.
Sweet.
Go Alameda.
Yeah.
I think a guess at this, the SNL cast. Mm-hmm. Is it Martin Short and Steve Martin?
No. I don't think Steve Martin was ever a cast member. But no, it wasn't Martin Short. Sorry.
Oh, all right. That's all I got.
Well, thank you, though.
Yeah. All right.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. No? Anybody there? Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is Connie from Florida.
Hi, Connie.
Hey, Florida.
All the way from Florida.
Hi. So I have a guess about the SNL musical acts. Is one of them Dave Grohl?
That is, he's the number one guy.
Good
he's
for you.
Performed with Nirvana, Foo Fighters, and Queens of the Stone Age, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice
and
job.
Thanks. Is another one Prince, the other one?
It's not, although I will give you a clue. Perhaps you'll know this. The third person has a band that he's also known for. And Dave Grohl, at some point, was on SNL playing in this band, too.
Wow.
I'm drawing a blank on that. Yeah, I can't get that one. But I had another guess about the book titles with the colons. The last one, The Blood in the Water,
yes.
I know that has some relation to Michigan. I'm not sure if the woman who wrote it is from Michigan or if it's a story from Michigan. Is that right?
Well, I don't know where the author's from, but it's not a story that takes place in Michigan, so maybe the author is from there. The event took place not in Michigan.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Those are my guesses. Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Oh, is it maybe about the Exxon Valdez?
It's not.
Okay.
But that's a really good guess.
Okay.
Yeah, given the title.
We may be having a little phone trouble tonight. Maybe. Are we not?
We're not.
Oh, we're good? Okay. We're good now. Anyway, give us a call. We have a couple lines open. Area code 415-841-4134. 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Oh, you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight, technical editor Kira Pace from Diablo Valley College, semi-retired Lloyd Fisher, and I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And Kira, it is your turn.
All right. I have one that... okay. Let's try this out. So it's a little game I'm calling State High Points and Low Points. So I've got five of these, and the answer to each of them is just a state. I want to know what state. And for each state, I will give you a high point, which is the highest elevation, and a low point, which is a thing that an elected representative or an elected official from that state has said. So I will give you highest elevation and a quote. And I want you to give me the state.
Geographical and cultural at the same time.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So.
Okay. And there's five of them.
There are five. Right. So the first one, the high point of this state is a place called Brasstown Bald. The low point is this quote. My fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
He was
talking about Guam.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't Hawaii. That
was no. It was about moving 8,000 Marines from Okinawa to Guam. So that is the first one. The second one, the high point is Town Sock Mountain. The low point is this quote. If it's a legitimate rape, the female body has ways to try to shut the whole thing down.
That's recent.
It's Indiana.
No, it's not Indiana.
Oh.
Is it Nebraska?
Nope.
That's, okay. No, Missouri.
It is.
Yeah, okay,
that is Representative
right.
Todd Aiken.
The one that
Missouri.
Ran against Claire McCaskill.
Right.
So we got
very
that
good.
One. The third one, the high point, and I feel that you'll get this off the high point, is Mount Whitney. The low point is this quote. I believe natural gas to be a clean, cheap alternative to fossil fuels.
It's Washington?
No.
No? Oh, Whitney. Okay.
Yeah, Mount Whitney. Mount Whitney's...
Go ahead. I obviously didn't know.
Alaska?
Yeah.
No.
No, that's Mount McKinley.
Yeah.
Mount Whitney is Washington.
Nope.
That's what I said.
Still not Washington.
It was still wrong.
Mount Whitney,
Oregon.
Well, we'll move on from that one.
Alaska, no.
Number four, the high point is Bora Peak.
Bora Peak?
The low point, after hearing about how colonoscopy patients can swallow a small device to give doctors a closer look at parts of their colon, this person said, can the same procedure then be done in a pregnancy, swallowing a camera and helping the doctor determine what the situation is?
That's recent, too.
Yeah.
Well, Bora Peak, Bora was a senator from Idaho. Is it Idaho?
It's Idaho.
All right.
And that was Representative Vito Barbieri.
Go, Vito.
There you go.
And finally, last one, because of course I have to. The high point is Guadalupe Peak, and the low point is this quote, there aren't enough people to put a guard at every entrance and exit, but if we can protect a large office building or courthouse or any major facility, maybe we need to look at limiting the entrances and exits into our schools so that we can have law enforcement looking at the people who come in or out of one or two entrances.
Was that Texas this
week? That is. Yes, that is Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, who does not want to limit guns. He wants to limit doors.
What an idiot.
Nice.
Okay. I'm sorry. So do we have any that are...
I have two that are outstanding. Right. High Point, Brasstown, Bald, Low Point. My fear is that the whole island of Guam will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize. And the other one is High Point, Mount Whitney, Low Point. I believe natural gas to be a clean, cheap alternative to fossil fuels.
Right. I have a guess on the poem that's in the four TV shows.
Yes.
Captain, my captain.
No.
Ooh.
That's a logical way you thought about it.
Three of them, probably.
Unfortunately, it's wrong.
Yeah, well,
it's a logical thought.
It's a better answer than the right answer.
I don't know about that.
I don't know either.
I can see it going with the Twilights. I could see the way they arrived at the name of using this poem.
Okay.
Yeah. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good.
So last week, I asked you about... Well, actually, we knew that all of the elements in our body made in the stars, except hydrogen, which was made at the beginning, at the Big Bang. So I'd just like to bring the word of Carl Sagan, one of the best scientists in the past. He said, all of us humans are made from star dust. We really are. Well, star dust. Okay. So besides hydrogen, another element was made during the Big Bang. It is named after the sun. You know which one?
Helium.
Exactly. Very good.
Good for you.
Helium it is. Second question, very quickly. It came out in many news media, including Forbes magazine and Haaretz, the Israeli paper, that the Israeli government had been doing something to black Ethiopian Jews for over 20 years. You know what they've been doing to them?
Well, you're talking about Israel. They've been kicking them out.
No. Well, that's the African migrants, which is different. This is actually Ethiopian Jews that have migrated over 20 years.
Oh, it's Serbian, you said.
No, Ethiopian.
Ethiopian. Okay, you are.
Black Ethiopian Jews. Yeah, what they've been doing to them?
They've been sending them back. They've been putting them on planes and
No, they didn't come up with that, but they're doing mostly with just migrant asylum seekers, but with black Ethiopian Jews, they're doing something much, much, much worse.
We don't know. No.
Okay, I'll tell you. They've been sterilizing them, injecting them with sterilizing medicine without their knowledge. And that was discovered when somebody found that Ethiopian Jews had very, 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 in Israel, have very, very, very small birth rate. And they discovered, and actually, the Israeli government have confessed that last week. You can look at the article in Haaretz, an Israeli paper, or Forbes magazine.
Right.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. And Lori, it's your turn.
All right. So this past week, Tom Wolfe passed away, and he's an author I liked a lot. And he was kind of well-known for coming up with interesting creative titles. So I've taken the titles of five of his essays, and I want to know the subject matter of those essays. Subject matter or the essay are well known. The first one, the title of his first book, The Candy-Colored Tangerine Flake Streamlined Baby. What was it about? The next one is The Fifth Beatle. Number three is The First Tycoon of Teen. First tycoon Tycoon of Teen. Number four is Lover Boy of the Bourgeoisie. And number five is Marvelous Mouth. Okay, these were all published by 1965, if that helps at all. So I'm looking for the subject matter of the candy-colored tangerine flake streamlined baby, the fifth Beatle, the first Tycoon of Teen, Lover Boy of the Bourgeoisie, and Marvelous Mouth. All pretty well known. One's a general subject. The other four are about specific people.
Give you one.
Did you want?
No, give you one and a half each again.
Well, was the fifth Beatle George Martin? Something about George Martin?
It was not.
No, okay.
That's a good.
It's a really good guess.
Yes. Unless it's their, is it their manager? The whose name I
Brian Epstein.
Brian Epstein.
It's not.
Okay. And
those were the two go-to. I was very surprised that I saw the title, and it wasn't either of those.
Pete Best, then?
Not Pete Best. Their first drummer, not him.
Oh, what about Billy Preston?
Yeah,
Billy Preston.
That's good. That's good.
I think by 60. Well, Billy Preston probably had played by 65.
Leon Russell?
Not Leon Russell.
Okay. The teen one, is
the
that
first Tycoon of Teen.
Is that Dick Clark?
It's not.
Oh, that's good.
That's who it sounds like it should be.
What about candy-colored whatnot? Is that about the LSD tests?
No.
Okay.
The electric Kool-Aid.
Well, that's why I thought
that. Right. No.
Read it once more.
So I'm looking for the subject matter of these five Tom Wolfe essays. The title of his first book and his first big article in Esquire was Candy-Colored Tangerine Flake Streamlined Baby. Completely fun. Fifth Beatle, The First Tycoon of Teen, Lover Boy of the Bourgeoisie, and Marvelous Mouth.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, the candy-colored tangerine flake streamlined baby is about car culture in Southern California.
Right. It is, especially customized cars, which were like that color. Oh, very good.
Good.
Fifth Beatle, how about Stu Sutcliffe?
Not Stu Sutcliffe, another good guess.
Or, and the controversial answer, Yoko Ono.
Oh, not Yoko.
Should be a joke.
I don't think she was ever considered a Beatle, but not.
No, but I figured maybe a jokey.
Yeah.
And a little jokey title.
Yeah.
Musicians most often on SNL. You still have one left, right?
I do.
Is it Mick Jagger?
No.
Sting?
Nope.
Sting's a good guess.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody.
And Dave Grohl. I know. I remember seeing Dave Grohl playing drums on one of McCartney's appearances.
Oh, that's right. He did.
Recently, yeah. That was interesting.
Is
anyway,
rock and roll music the genre of the musician?
Yes.
Okay.
Most common non-animal high school name. How about Indians?
No.
Ooh, not
Warriors?
No.
Slackers?
No. Well, yes, kind of.
That's my high school.
Mount Whitney. That's California.
Sure is. Yeah. And that quote came from Nancy Pelosi.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. Good for you. All right.
She didn't think natural gas was a fossil fuel?
Yeah, well.
I guess.
Yeah.
Curious. The poem for Taxi MacGyver, Battlestar Galactica, and Twilight Zone about I once knew a girl from Nantucket?
No, unfortunately.
No? Close.
Okay.
Only three
the road
of
less
those.
The Road Less Traveled.
That's so good.
It's not The Road Less Traveled. It's what's the proper title of that poem?
Oh, not stopping.
Everybody
stopping
gets
by,
it wrong.
Stopping by woods on a snowy evening.
No.
Oh,
two paths diverged.
The Road Not Taken?
The Road Not Taken.
Yeah.
Everybody gets that wrong. But, yeah. Yes, well, The Road Not Taken. Very good.
I'm just like everybody. Yeah, you got a bell.
Nice.
Some of the punctuation, the colon Pulitzers. How about The Words That Remade America? Is that about the 14th Amendment?
It's not. It's a really good guess.
Blood in the Water. Is that about Greg Louganis?
The Diver.
Wow.
No, it's not about Greg Louganis.
I did. Yeah. And No Ordinary Time is probably not about the metric system, is it?
Unfortunately not. That never won the Pulitzer. As fascinating as it is.
All right. Well, that's all I got. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you very much.
As always, bye.
All right. We're a little past halfway through. Let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet, Kira.
All right. So I am still looking for the person or one person who has appeared on SNL as a musical guest most often. We already have the top two, which are Dave Grohl and Paul Simon. We're looking for number three.
Is it George Harrison?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Because he played with Paul Simon, and he played by himself, and he played with the Traveling Wilburys, I think, but not him.
No. Okay. Interesting, though.
And he tried to collect the, what was it, $500?
Right, for coming. When they were invited.
He says, no, we have to have all of them.
I don't remember the Traveling Wilburys being, were they on SNL? If they were, you've just picked the wrong Wilbur. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh.
And I am also looking for a state whose high point is Brasstown Bald and whose low point is this quote from an elected official. My fear is that the whole island of Guam will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize. And that's all I've got.
So not Bob Dylan.
No.
He's a Wilbury.
He sure is.
And it's the guy I can picture. Okay. I'm looking for the other half of the colon for these titles. We got the Eternal Golden Braid. We need Summer for the Gods. It's about important summer in history. The Words That Remade America. No Ordinary Time. A Life of Reinvention, which is a biography. And Blood in the Water. And then the Tom Wolfe titles that we don't have are The Fifth Beatle, The First Tycoon of Teen, Lover Boy of the Bourgeoisie, which I like saying a lot, and Marvelous Mouth.
Right. And?
And all 1965 or before.
Oh. What is the most common high school mascot name in the U.S. that is not an animal? I'm actually looking for two. What are the two most common high school mascot names in the U.S. that are not animals? Okay. What are those? And what else did I ask? Poem was taken. And was that it for me? I guess it kind of was. All right. Okay. Well, it's my turn anyway, so there. I'm going to give you five actors who all starred in films in which the title of the film is also the name of a famous poem. Okay?
It's poetry night.
Yes, poetry night.
I can't wait to get to my third question.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
These are five actors who all starred in films in which the title of the film is also the name of a famous poem. All right? So here we go. Number one, Cary Grant. Number two, Michael Palin. Number three, Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi. Number four, Irene Dunne. Number five, Van Johnson.
Huh.
So, these are five actors who all starred in films that is also the title of a famous poem. Number one, Cary Grant. Number two, Michael Palin. Number three, Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi. Number four, Irene Dunne. And number five, Van Johnson. Any guesses?
Cool.
What? I'm more hung up on the poems.
Me too.
Well, if you got the poem title, you got the film title.
So. Right. Unfortunately, I can go the other way around. Michael Palin wasn't in he was in a movie. Is there a famous poem called Brazil? I can't imagine that there is.
A famous poem?
There's a famous. Yeah. There's a song called Brazil.
Yeah. And there might be a poem named Brazil, but it wouldn't qualify
as famous.
It's
not famous.
Yeah.
No. Or Fierce Cri- Sorry.
But all the, when we hear the title of the poem, everybody out there
Just
goes,
yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like Ozymandias kind of poem.
Yeah, but that's not
the Road Not Taken kind of poem.
Not that.
Irene Dunne, The Awful Truth. No, I don't know. Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi.
Yeah.
They were in the same movie together?
Yes.
Yeah.
They were in six or seven movies together.
Yeah.
Okay.
But mostly the kind of Dracula.
Right.
Oh,
versus
Frankenstein meets the Wolfman. That was a famous Yeats poem that most people don't know.
No, I think that was Joyce Kilmer.
Like Palin can't have that many films.
Well, he has a lot of films.
But
he has a few.
The Monty Python film?
Yeah, but they all also start with the words Monty Python and. So there's definitely no famous poem that starts with that.
All right, I'm going to read it just once
more. Fish Called Wanda.
These are five actors who all starred in films in which the title of the film is also the title of a famous poem. Number one, Cary Grant. Number two, Michael Palin. Number three, Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi. Number four, Irene Dunne. Number five, Van Johnson. Right.
But I would like to hear a poem called Time Bandits. So
that'd be good.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, it's like North by Northwest, but that's not a little poem. It's in
that's
Hamlet.
Prose.
It's where it's from.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I knew. I'm just throwing that in because I know that, but I don't know.
I am mad, North by Northwest.
Yeah, that's very good. Yeah.
Can't tell a hawk from a handsaw.
Yeah. Oh, it's very nice.
I know that.
Well, we can go home now.
And the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 and toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Tony from Oakland.
Hi.
Hey, a bunch of money got guessed, but I'm going to guess for the high school mascots,
yes.
The Titans.
Not the Titans. Nope.
Good guess.
Okay. Fully. And I can't imagine a famous poem from the life of Brian. So I'll just hop off at this point. Thanks.
Well, thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, yeah, this is David in Oakland.
Hi, Dave.
So for the mascots, is Gladiators one of them?
No, everybody's kind of dancing around it a little bit. I mean, you're sort of in the general ballpark, but no, not Gladiators.
Right. It's going to be something like Centurions or Gladiators.
You figure it's a sort of a, something that implies action, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So. Sorry.
Yeah, nothing. I can't even think of any military like soldiers or generals or anything.
But. Right.
Okay. I got the road not taken from me earlier. Your question about actors in films with poem styles. Were Karloff and Lugosi in the Raven?
That's correct.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
The Raven.
Very
good.
Nice. Oh, okay. Man, that's good.
Yeah. And so I don't have any more questions or answers for you, but I do have a question.
Okay.
So what is considered the first national sort of slang motto? That is to say, you know how we occasionally there's something that becomes popular, it gets on t-shirts and hats and pennants and the like. It was early in the 19th century.
This is American?
This is American.
So the first motto.
And it's another motto, a phrase, I should say.
Like, don't tread on me, that kind of thing?
Something along those lines, but really more slangy than that.
It's not okay, is it?
No, that was the first, if you will, broadly American slang phrase, but wasn't really, commercial model that was like on.
So is this, could you say this was political or not political?
It was not political at all.
Not political, okay.
It was really just sort of a catchphrase.
And it was about the entire United States? It wasn't about like.
You could buy it on pennants, like at the beach. You could buy it on armbands.
What era are we talking about?
Early 19th century?
It's very early 19th.
Oh, early 19th, all right.
And it's a phrase that you're all familiar with.
So it's still in common use today? Is that what you're saying?
It's not in common use, but you definitely know it.
Okay. Is it strongly associated with any one person?
No, not with one person. It's just really sort of like a. I don't really know how to.
Is it a commercial product, like a motto to buy something? Is that its intent?
No.
Does it maybe have anything to do with a slang term for an American, like Yankee, that kind of thing?
No, nothing like that.
That's good.
I don't know really how to say. I can give you one clue. Is it?
All right. Go ahead.
It includes a number.
23 Skidoo.
Yeah.
That is it. 23 Skidoo. Yeah.
In the early 19th century.
You could buy it. You could 19th. Buy it on armbands and
early 1900s.
That
okay.
Would have that exactly from the early 1900s.
Yep, I don't know where it comes from.
That's it. Oh, it comes from there was a building where there was very windy in New York City is the sort of the best approximation where it came from, and it was make a quick getaway.
So, yeah, I knew the thing. I didn't know where the 23 comes from.
Thank you very much.
Right. Yeah. Right. Night.
And let's see. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi. Thanks. This is Fran in San Francisco.
Hi, Fran.
Hi. Murray the K, he had a radio show. Was he the fifth Beatle?
He was the fifth Beatle.
He was the fifth Beatle?
Very good. Thank you.
Nice job.
Yeah, he was a DJ. And I think he introduced them in New York. And
they called him the fifth Beatle.
They did. Very good.
They loved him, yeah. I have a kind of a funny question. It rhymes with Markle, okay? On Saturday Night Live, there was a skit, the original Saturday Night Live, and it was a family, and what was their name? It rhymes with Markle. It was in a skit.
Oh, this was like a Bill Murray Gilda Radner skit years ago?
I'm not quite sure. Well, I think there were more people in it.
I remember on Laugh-In, they had the Farkle family.
Was it Laugh-In?
Yeah. Ferd Farkle and...
That's right. Yeah, that's it. But that was on Laugh-In. I thought it was Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, well, Dana got it. Very good.
Yes.
Good. Well, you got it. That's it for tonight. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye.
And Kira, it's your turn.
What about the Warriors for the high school?
Nope. Like I say, you're kind of all dancing around it, but yeah. it's not quite that.
Hmm. And we already had, did I already guess Soldiers, or did someone already
you did.
Say Soldiers?
Yeah. Midshipmen.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Right.
Merchant Marines is very popular, but it's not that.
All right, so I have a lead-in question, which is super easy, followed by a small list. So the name of a 1931 silent comedy was the inspiration behind the name of what San Francisco landmark?
City Lights.
There we go. So in 1956, Lawrence Ferlinghetti published Allen Ginsberg's Howl and Other Poems, which led to his arrest and an obscenity trial in 1957. Subsequent editions of Howl were printed with five of the same other poems. What are these five other poems that are included in most editions of Howl and Other Poems?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I should know, but yeah. I do not. It's a good one to leave out there. Our audience will pick
this
up.
Right. Read it once.
They're all other Ginsberg
just
poems.
That part.
Yeah, sure. In 1956, Lawrence Ferlinghetti published Allen Ginsberg's Howl and Other Poems. Subsequent editions also include earlier works, but they typically have the same five other poems. What are they?
Right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Mark in the Tenderloin.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. So No Ordinary Time is about the Eleanor and Franklin Roosevelt.
It is about the home front in World War II. Thank you. Great.
Okay. And the non-animal mascot, I'm going to guess Chiefs?
Nope, not Chiefs.
No. Okay, and I've got a question.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an island... in the world that contains either parts or a whole of three different countries, and I want to know what island it is and what are the names of the countries.
Is it Borneo?
It is Borneo. Mm-hmm. And what are the three countries?
Indonesia is one.
Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, Papua New Guinea, Indonesia, and what is
it's
the
third? It's the Sultanate of...
Brunei.
Brunei.
Yeah.
Brunei is one of them.
And then Dana said Papua New Guinea, which I believe is correct.
No.
No?
Papua New Guinea is actually on the island of New Guinea.
Yes, okay. Of course.
It was Indonesia one? That was the first
guess. Indonesia was one, though.
Is that right?
Right.
I'm thinking now.
Is it maybe Malaysia, Indonesia, and Borneo?
Malaysia is one. Brunei is one. And now I don't know, and I need to check my map. But
somebody will call.
But I guess we'll go with Indonesia.
Right.
But I'm not sure, and I'll check. And sorry about that.
That's all right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, do you have something quick, Larry?
I do.
All right.
I have a Kira-centric question.
Woo!
Centric question.
I desperately need one.
So, Matt Groening of The Simpsons, a Simpson question. Three male members of the Simpson family, Bartholomew, Homer, and Abraham, all have the initial J as their middle initial.
Mm-hmm.
How come?
Because it is a funny letter. That's really it. It doesn't stand for anything, but it is a funny sounding letter. It's possible that Matt Groening also is referring to an old fashioned person, but
he's not.
Okay.
No, and that's not the answer that he gave in an article.
Recently. I think he's given a few.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
It's a tribute.
Okay.
Yeah.
Isn't it a tribute to his father?
No.
Or his grandfather?
No.
Phil Hartman?
No.
Okay.
It's a tribute to... I'm just going to say it's a tribute. Well, there's still enough time
right,
here.
Read it once more.
So Bartholomew J., Homer J., and Abraham J. Simpson. Are they all Simpsons? I don't even know that.
They are, yes.
And, yeah, and you know what? It's just the letter J, not the name. That might be a hint. Matt Groening has said it was a tribute to somebody, not his father and not Phil Hartman. Mm-hmm. Somebody that predates all of those people. Mm-hmm. Well, not predates his father. Well known.
Okay.
I have that.
All right.
I thought you'd know immediately. It's good.
And let's go to a call.
It's recent. The thing that it's tribute for is sort of recently in the news. It's an entertainment event.
All right.
That's how it came out.
Hmm. I'm sorry. Are you there, Colin?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, please.
Okay. So I'm thinking Blood in the Water might have something to do with whales.
It does not.
Okay.
It should, but it doesn't.
Yeah. And the non-animal mascot, is it Viking?
Ooh. Yes.
Ooh,
Vikings
nice.
Is one. That's one of the two, I should say.
Yeah.
Vikings.
Okay,
is one.
And is the other one Devil?
No.
Ooh.
No. Okay. The third musical guest, was it Bono?
No, not Bono.
One of the two?
Nope.
Okay, and then finally, Marvelous Mouse, was that about Marilyn Monroe?
It was not.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a really good guess, but not accurate.
Oh, and then one more. Oh, the other poems. Well, I'm going to turn this over to the person who... No, you have to answer it.
Put her on, or him on.
Okay. How about these poems? Kaddish and America, and there are three others.
For the names of the actors...
For Ginsburg.
That go...
Ginsburg, America
oh,
is
I'm
one
sorry.
Of them, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, the wrong question.
And Kaddish, she said, too.
No, that's not one of them.
Okay.
Okay, just... Okay, hmm. Well... A Tycoon of Teens, is that Ed Sullivan?
It's not.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is the musical guest Roy Orbison?
No.
Okay. He's a Wilbury, right?
You got two more Wilburys to run through.
I can picture the guy. He's the guy in the Traveling Wilburys.
Is
the one.
Is it that one of the guys in the Traveling Wilburys?
It sure is, yeah. The one who is not... Would you
not,
already guess?
He's not as famous as these guys.
Oh,
he is?
You bite your tongue, sir. You bite your tongue.
Oh, I will then. He's not as famous as Bob Dylan, George Harrison, and Roy Orbison, and I don't know it. Oh, man. All right. I'm not saying...
It's
yeah.
not Chris... Wasn't Chris
no.
Christopher's?
He's not a Wilbury.
No, he was in some other things like the Wayfarers or something like that, not the Wilburys. I don't even remember what they're called now.
Yeah. Right. Oh, man.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Roland from Bernal Heights.
Hi, Roland.
And I was just screaming at my radio, Tom Petty.
Yes.
Oh, good job.
Tom
very good.
Petty.
Petty and a heartbreaker.
You. All right. Yeah. Fair
yes.
enough.
Yeah.
And for the book titles, is The Words That Remade America still out there?
Yes.
I think that's after the colon of Gary Will's Lincoln at Gettysburg.
It is. It's about the Gettysburg Address. Another that's great right. book. Thank you.
One of my favorite books.
Yeah, it's terrific.
So I have a few chapter titles, all from the same book. Mm-hmm. I'll just give you the chapter titles until you can tell me what the book is.
Right.
And I have to say they're all chosen because they sound like the chapter title should have some racy content.
Can you tell us, is this an American book or an English book? Or?
Well, let me just start, and if you need more help.
He's not right. telling you.
Okay.
Yeah, one chapter is called The Crotch.
Okay, then.
Go ahead.
Another chapter is called The Town Hose Story.
The Town Hose? H-O?
H-O, apostrophe S.
Go ahead.
What about As I Lay Dying? No, that I don't even...
No, no? Good guess. Another
never,
one is called...
Faulkner never
pitch,
used it.
Yeah.
What? Another one is called Pitch Polling.
No.
Okay, A Bosom Friend.
How about Fear of Flying?
No.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to give it away here in a second. How about The Pequod Meets the Virgin?
Oh,
Moby
Dick?
Dick?
Of course, yes.
Oh, wow.
Moby Dick. I stole that from
we didn't get that.
I'm proud.
All right, that's all I got.
Thank you.
All right.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there, this is Ron in San Francisco.
Hi, Ron.
For the Van Johnson poem movie, is that The Pied Piper of Hamelin?
It is, The Pied Piper of Hamelin.
Ah, cool.
Very good, thank you.
And then Blood in the Water, that's about Attica, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Cool.
The Attica Prison Uprising of 1971 and its Legacy by Heather Ann Thompson. Good. Thank you.
It's a very depressing book, I gotta say. Okay. And then the Tom Wolfe Tycoon of Teen, is that the lovely, talented Phil Spector?
It is the lovely, talented Phil Spector. He is the first Tycoon of
Teen. Good job.
Great
cool.
job.
And then last one, maybe for Cary Grant, poem, movie, would that be None But the Lonely Heart?
Oh, that's such such a good guess.
None But the Lonely?
That's not it.
Okay. I don't know that poem. I thought of it.
Yeah. All right. That's it for me. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, my name's Hope, and I'm so upset because I was going to guess Tom Petty, but
we can
Charles
be real.
Now for
there
Tom Petty.
There you go.
Thank you very much. And then for the mascot, I was thinking Spartan.
Not Spartan. They're all kind of, you know, action related, as I said before. So you're kind of on the right track.
Spartan-esque.
Okay, that's all I had anyway. Well, have a nice night.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
I doubt if this is right, but Irene Dunne, White Cliffs of Dover.
That's right. Yes, Edna St. Vincent Millay.
I just thought it was a poetic title.
No, they took it directly from the poem. They quoted the poem through the film.
I know the song, but I don't know the poem. Yeah.
Now, is Cary Grant going to be Gunga Din?
It is Gunga Din.
Oh.
Yes, Kipling.
I'm very happy. Thanks.
Good.
That's a good answer.
Good job.
Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert and Karen in Bernal Heights.
Hi.
And I have a quick question. All my answers have been taken. So Meghan Markle's nephew, I think, is cashing in on her fame with what product?
Something related to her?
It shares a name.
Markle something and Markle Sparkle.
That's exactly it, Markle Sparkle.
Really? What is it?
What is Markle Sparkle?
Nail polish?
No.
Marijuana.
Yes.
That's David said that.
David knows that.
Which presidential relative attempted to do the same thing several decades ago?
Billy Beer. It's a great tradition.
Yes. Good night, all.
Good night.
Markle Sparkle. That's nice.
All right, one more call. Yeah, maybe. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Trevor in San Francisco.
Hi, Trevor.
Hi, I wanted to try to answer the question about the Simpsons middle initial.
Yes.
Is that in honor of Rocket J. Squirrel and Bullwinkle J. Moose?
It is.
Good for
Thank
you.
You. And they just they redid that series for Amazon, and so a lot of publicity came out, and they interviewed Matt Groening, and he said he named those three characters after Rocky J. and Bullwinkle J. Thank you. All terrific. Right.
That was my dad's favorite TV show as a kid, so I just wanted to answer that.
I loved it, too. I haven't had the nerve to watch it because I don't know if it could be any better. It was great.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, time to clean up here. Kira, what do we got?
Oh, real quick, that Michael Palin one, is it maybe Fierce Creatures? Is there a Fierce Creatures poem?
It is not.
No? Okay. In that case, the high point is Brasstown Ball. The low point is the, quote, my fear is that the whole island of Guam will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize. That's the state of Georgia. And finally, the other poems by Ginsberg that are generally included in Howl and other poems. We already got America. The other four are A Supermarket in California, Sunflower Sutra, Transcription of Organ Music, and In the Baggage Room at Greyhound.
Very nice. The Summer for the Gods is about the Scopes Trial. So the Scopes Trial in America's continued debate over science and religion. A Life of Reinvention is a biography of Malcolm X by Manning Mirabel. The Lover Boy of the Bourgeoisie was Cary Grant. And The Marvelous Mouth, Cassius Clay, before he changed his name to Muhammad Ali.
Okay. Let's see. The most common high school mascot in the U.S. That is not an animal, we have Vikings. And the other is Knights.
Oh.
The Knights. Mm-hmm. The Knights, I should say. And let's see, the actress who starred in the film is with a poem as the title of the film. The only one nobody got, Michael Palin. That's Terry Gilliam's film Jabberwocky.
Oh
my gosh.
Very nice.
Jabberwocky. Anyway, if we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. My thanks to our panel tonight, Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher at Apple Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. My thanks to David Latulipe and Steve Wilcott for handing the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in out there. And we hope you will join us next Sunday. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
If it ain't gross, it's net. It's gotta be this or that.